Let me open this time of teaching with prayer. Father, would you please encourage us as we look from your perspective, from the perspective that your word offers us, at the topic of life transitions and the topic of reaching old age. And I pray that you would give us wisdom from your word and that you would give us grace to follow you in the transitions that, you have in front of us in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to be just looking at chapter 19, verses 31 through 39, the little section on the meeting between Barzillai and David at the Jordan River. The key verb in this passage is the Hebrew verb avar, to pass over, or pass, go across, or travel through. It occurs 10 times in these 10 verses. It's the key idea here that there's a transition, a crossing over. And that transition is symbolized by the crossing over of the Jordan River, of David with Barzillai and with Kimham and all of David's followers as well. For David, crossing this river was a symbol of returning to the role of king in Israel. For David's followers, this was a border, a national border. And those from Judah who had been fighting to protect David on the Transjordan, on the east side of the Jordan, crossing this Jordan River meant they were going back home. There were those, however, who were from the east side. Crossing this river meant leaving their home to follow David. All these things are going on with the different characters. And that river crossing is this transitional event for each one of them. Let me just read through the... All right, I'm going to have to learn how to operate two screens with my right hand. Maybe I can do this with my left hand, and I forgot to print out my sermon, so I'm using a second screen to read my sermon. Let me read my translation of verses 31 through 41, maybe. Barzillai the Gileadite also came down from Rogalim, and he crossed over the Jordan with the king to commission him at the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was very old, 80 years old, and it was he who had supported the king while he was residing in Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Now, the king said to Barzillai, "You should cross over with me. I'll support you beside me in Jerusalem." But Barzillai said to the king, "How many more days are there to the years of my life that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? 80 years old I am today. Can I distinguish between what looks good versus bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I still hear the sound of male singers and female singers? Why then should your servant become more of a burden to my master, the king? It is a small thing that your servant crosses over the Jordan with the king. Why then should the king award me this award? Please, let your servant settle down that I may die in my hometown and be buried at the tomb of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant, Kimham. Let him cross over with my master the king and then do for him whatever is good in your eyes." So the king said, "Well, let Kimham cross over with me then. And as for me, I will do for him what's good in your eyes, and everything which you desire of me, I will do for you." When all the people had crossed over the Jordan, then the king crossed over. And then the king kissed Barzillai, and he blessed him. Then he returned to his place, and the king went on toward Gilgal, and Kimham went with him. Thus, all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, brought the king over. So Barzillai, as you may remember, was one of the three political leaders from the Transjordan area who had met with David back in chapter 17 and supported David while he was running away from Absalom. In 2 Samuel 17:27, and we read, "Now it came about when David was going to Mahanaim," so David is going east across the river, away from Israel, "that Shobi, son of Nahash, from Rabbah, of the descendants of Ammon," that's the country of Jordan now, "and Machir, son of Amiel, from Lodabar," that's going to be a more northern, maybe Syria, Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim, that's more from the central Transjordan area, "presented bedding and bowls and pottery vessels and wheat and barley and flour and granola and beans and lentils and honey and butter and sheep and cow's cheese to David and to the people which was with him to eat. For they said, 'The people has become hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.'" It's believed that Barzillai was an Israelite from the tribe of Manasseh. He lived on the east side of the Jordan River, where part of the tribe of Manasseh lived. His hometown of Rogalim has not been discovered by archaeologists, and it's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible outside of 2 Samuel, but it's thought to be just north or south of the city, Israelite city of Mahanaim, where Ishbosheth had run his administration from when he had made a bid for kingship, somewhere near there. And Mahanaim is also where David took refuge during Absalom's revolt. Rogalim, Barzillai's hometown, is probably up there on that highland area of Gilead, because it says he came down to the river to meet with David. It says he was a very great man. That greatness probably included wealth and influence, political power. But that greatness also has to do with his heart. He's a generous man. And God gave him a large heart to do good to others. The Hebrew text of verse 31, both Hebrew as well as in the ancient Greek and Latin and Aramaic and Syriac, they speak of Barzillai crossing the Jordan River with David in the past tense. He crossed the river with David, with the king. But then five verses later, David and Barzillai still haven't crossed the river yet. So what's going on here? All the modern English Bibles adjust the wording of verse 31 in order to correct it into a sequential pattern and make it sound like in verse 31, Barzillai just came to the eastern shore of the Jordan, but didn't actually cross over it until later. I think, however, that the King James and the ancient versions were correct here in saying that he crossed over, because I think this is a summary statement. And that the subsequent verses unpack that summary with details subordinate to the summary statement. The big picture is Barzillai crossed the river with David. Now, what are the details? Boom, the verses underneath unpack that for us. I think that is the structure that this author is using. Barzillai is going to cross the Jordan River into the mainland of Israel with David. And the reason why is also stated in verse 31. Literally, Leshilchu, to send him, to commission him at the Jordan, at to or from the Jordan River. David's going to Jerusalem to resume his rule as king over Israel and over Judah. So, Barzillai is going to escort or conduct David across the river. But the point is not that David needed an escort across the river. The point is the symbolic support of this nobleman, Barzillai, on the east side of the river, saying, I support you, David, as my king. And when you come back to the throne, I'm going to be your loyal subject. Crossing the river per se wasn't the goal. This was Barzillai showing honor and support to David coming back into the role of king. Ancient Latin manuscripts have the preposition over the Jordan, and that's what the King James, NAS, and ESV followed. The old Syriac has the preposition from the Jordan, and that's what the NIV followed. The ancient Greek and Hebrew transcripts either don't have a preposition or they have that bet preposition, which means at or to or in. Those are not significant variations. The basic idea is we've got this Transjordanian nobleman recommissioning the once deposed king of Israel at the border of Israel. He's demonstrating support. He's going to escort David out of exile back in the direction of Jerusalem. Now, like any good organizational leader, David is always on the lookout for folks that can help him in his administration, could help lead the army, help lead the nation. And David could use someone as wise and respected and experienced as Barzillai in his court. Barzillai would especially bring a great deal of expertise in the politics of the Transjordan area, which could help David as he's expanding the kingdom. So when Barzillai shows up to lend his support to David, and David's return to the throne, David offers him a paid position as one of his cabinet members in Jerusalem. Barzillai, in verses 34 and following, though, politely declines. He's honored that he should be asked, but he politely declines. Some of the reasons he gives, one is he's so old, he's probably not going to have many more years of life left. And so it's not really, if he moved to Jerusalem, all the work and getting situated wouldn't have a very long payoff for David. Might not be worth it. Verse 35 could mean that it was his 80th birthday that very day, or it could just mean he was currently in his 80th year. He also notes that due to his age, he's lost a lot of his physical abilities. As we age, we lose our sense of hearing. We lose our sense of smell and taste. We also lose, I suspect that by not knowing good versus bad, maybe he's he may be referring to a sense of sight, since hearing and smell are the other two things in that verse. But with, you know, moral categories like good and bad, maybe he's talking about the mind. The mind also begins to lose its sharpness with age. An old guy that can't see very well is not going to be much help in a war reconnaissance or in studying documents, or in even in court fashion. without good eyesight, maybe he wouldn't be that much of an advantage for David. Without taste, well, you don't want him to be your cook. Don't want him to be your cupbearer. Might not make a good butler. Those are people you need in the court, and he's not going to be able to fill any of those roles. A guy who can't hear very well. Do you want him in a meeting? he misses key things that people said and says things that are inappropriate because he didn't hear what important things. You know, Barzillai's aware of his limitations, and he's saying, "This isn't the role for me. I've lost abilities in these different areas, and so it's not going to fit for me to fill a role like that." He is aware of the limitations of his old age, and he is content with them, which is a huge challenge about aging. In verse 36, Barzillai suggests that David's offer of a court appointment is far out of proportion in generosity compared to his own gestures of generosity towards David, especially just crossing the river. I cross the river with you, and you offer me a lifetime appointment in your court. What are you thinking, David? I think that's what he's saying. The word little in verse 36 is an adjective. I think it's not an adverb describing how far over the river Barzillai would go. He obviously went all the way across the river. I think the word little is actually a predicate adjective describing how little a thing it was to cross the river with David in comparison to how great a reward of being taken care of for the rest of his life in the palace would have been. In doing so, Barzillai is minimizing any social obligations that David might feel towards him, especially the unmentioned favor of having supplied David's thousand or thousands of troops in Machanaim during the civil war that just was finished. Barzillai was David's major financial and food supplier, and he's not even mentioning it. He doesn't want David to feel obligated to him. He's not trying to manipulate David in order to get kickbacks. Wow. Don't we need statesmen like that in government who aren't going to contribute to the political corruption of the swamp? And they'll do things just because it's the right thing to do, not in order to get political favors. This man is a real example to us, Barzillai. Wish that we knew more about him. In verse 37, translators have historically been divided over whether the first verb means to settle down or to return or even to be refreshed. These two verbs can be to sit or to return, can be spelled the exact same way in Hebrew with the Hebrew consonants, so they can be mistaken for each other easily. But either way, Barzillai is speaking of retiring. He doesn't want to start another chapter of active service at large at his age. In the moment, Barzillai is an old man. He may want to sit down and refresh himself after crossing the physical exertion of crossing a river. But he's also going to want to cross back over the river and go back home. He's going to return. In the bigger picture, he would rather settle down and die in his own hometown than start a new job as a court appointee in Jerusalem. He talks about being buried with his parents, his mom and his dad, and their tomb. That was a tradition of the day. You may recall that Asahel was buried in his father's tomb in chapter 2. Ahithophel was buried in his father's tomb in chapter 17. And we'll say later in chapter 21, King Saul was also buried in his father's tomb. So this appeal to burial tradition would have carried a great deal of weight with David. Barzillai then offers to send one of his own men named Kimham I'm spelling it with a K. Some versions spell it with a CH. It's the K sound as the first letter. In fact, the Syriac writes it with a B as the first letter, but that's just kind of the way names come out when you translate them from one language to another. Barzillai offers Kimham in his place to go to Jerusalem and take that court position. There's an old tradition in the Syriac Bible and the Arabic Bible, as well as the Lucian tradition of the Greek Bible, that Kimham was Barzillai's own son. And practically every commentary I read affirmed this tradition. I think Barzillai is offering his son to take this position of being David's right-hand man instead of Barzillai. Nothing more of substance is said about Kimham joining David's court, except that in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7, when David is on his deathbed some years later and giving instructions to his son Solomon, who's going to become king after him, David tells Solomon to welcome the descendants or sons of Barzillai at his table anytime at the palace that they want to come. This indicates that there are local descendants of Barzillai still present near Jerusalem. And that would support this tradition that Kimham was actually a son of Barzillai, and that his family settled near Jerusalem and was loyal to David. There's another interesting side note about Kimham in Jeremiah chapter 41, where faithful Jews, after the Babylonian occupation, decide to escape from Israel and take refuge down in Egypt. Central Israel down to Egypt, they stopped overnight at a place called the Lodge of Kimham. Same name. Bible scholars are generally agreed that Kimham must therefore have established a household near Bethlehem, which endured and became a place that was known where God's people could find hospitality. It's an interesting development of this story, and I wish we knew more about it, but that's all the Bible tells us. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, went so far as to suggest that the reason why Kimham's estate was in rural Bethlehem rather than in the big city of Jerusalem. Remember David said that he would do for Kimham whatever was good in your sight and Barzillai's sight? David's looking to Barzillai, I'll do for your son Kimham what you think is good. And then think about what was good in Barzillai's sight. Was it to move to Jerusalem? No, it was to live out in the country and so perhaps Matthew Henry's hypothesis is that Barzillai asked David to let his son Kimham occupy a country seat near Jerusalem, but not in Jerusalem. And so David pulls some strings with his family back in the Bethlehem area and gives him a plot of land there. Interesting hypothesis. But at any rate, David accepted Barzillai's suggestion to make Kimham part of his court. And I'm sure that included paying him well and treating him so well that Barzillai and Kimham would never have anything to complain about. But think about for Kimham. This means leaving his family. It means leaving his homeland of Gilead on the east side of the Jordan. It means joining David in Jerusalem in a new community, a new location, a new world of Israelite politics. Would he do this for his king? History tells us that he did. And so at the end of verse 38, David says to Barzillai something to the effect of, well, call me if you need anything. And one gets the impression that David meant it. If Barzillai had sent a message to David asking for anything, David would have given it to him, particularly if any foreign, Barzillai is in a buffer zone. Foreign nations could come through his area before they got to Israel. And if Barzillai ever sent a message to David saying, you know, the Chaldeans are threatening me, the Moabites are threatening me or something, David would have sent his army over there in a heartbeat because he was a good king and he believed in protecting his people, just like Saul when he was a good king, protected the Gileadites during his reign, during the good part of his reign. It's what a king does. He protects his people. He responds to their needs for political protection. David wants Barzillai to know he's going to take his job as king seriously again. Now, with all that settled, David and Barzillai are escorted across the Jordan River together in great pomp and splendor. Shimei is there, remember, with his 1,000 men from Benjamin, and there's all of David's troops and the few 3,000 at least that had fought with him on the east side of the Jordan. There's a bunch of people crossing the river here, and probably people that are carrying David in a roan or something across the river, and Barzillai together with him with great honor. And after they cross, it says David kisses Barzillai, probably, you know, a both cheek kiss, which is traditional throughout the world, to show that you're like brothers on good terms. And David offers a prayer of blessing over Barzillai. And then they part ways. I was struck as you were reading the New Testament thing when Paul was giving his final greetings to the people at Ephesus. They did the same three things, right? Paul spoke, gave blessings. He blessed them. They prayed for him, and they kissed each other. This is what God's people do. They promise and kiss and bless. We never hear about Barzillai again. We assume he went back across the river to his home in Rogalim. We do follow David from this point. He leads his people up the riverbank about 5 miles to a flat camping area called Gilgal. And then from there, he will head up into the hills to Jerusalem. We never hear of Barzillai again, except that his children continue to thrive in Israel. And even for centuries, during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they're still around. They're mentioned in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. So just kind of bringing it back together, this passage is about crossings, transitions. For David, it was a transition from being out of commission and exile to returning to doing the thing God had called him to do, be king of Israel and Judah. For Shimei and others, it was a transition from following the wrong leader to putting their service behind God's anointed. For Kimham, it was a transition from faithful work at home to faithful service in a new environment. And for Barzillai, it was a watershed moment of preparing for the ultimate transition from life in this world to the next life. I want to encourage you to consider which of these characters provides examples for you in your particular life situation. What transitions lie before you that you can learn from one of these characters about? 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us, the New Testament church, that these things in the Old Testament were written as examples for our teaching, for our instruction. So maybe you can identify with David. David was a believer, but he's been repeatedly knocked out of commission by sins and by difficult circumstances, hadn't he? Is he going to come back? Or is this latest thing going to knock him out for good? I think there are plenty of us who have felt that situation in life. I've been hit hard, or I have fallen hard. And do I have what it takes to come back? Am I going to follow God anymore, or am I done with this? Are you willing to trust and obey God again? Are you willing to step back into the roles that God has called you in to do? You willing to cross the Jordan like David did? Come back to it? Even if you failed in the past? Will you re-engage the work of involving other people in the calling that God has given you? Like David did, he's taking on Kimham and is going to have to shape a new court advisor who's never done this before. But David's looking for people he can recruit now to be part of his administration. Will you re-engage in that work of training and discipling, recruiting children, employees, other disciples in strategic roles in God's kingdom? It may also, and strategic roles in God's kingdom include fulfilling the creation mandate of taking dominion of the world. It may be in your job too, as well as in spiritual things. That is part of David stepping back into his role after being knocked out of commission. The Apostle Paul told the believers in Corinth, some of y'all were sunk in terrible sins, but you were washed. You were made holy. You're made right in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Will you start making promises again to your family, your friends, your community, your boss, even after having failed them? Don't be afraid to start making promises again based on faith that God can help you fulfill those promises. Based on faith in God, we can make promises and re-engage in the work God's called us to do. Will you show affection and speak blessing like David does to Barzillai? Show affection and speak blessing to the people that God's placed around you in your family, even in your work, in your church. Maybe kiss your spouse and kids more. Have you ever tried placing your hand on a child or a grandchild or great-grandchild or a disciple and pray a prayer blessing over them? That's a powerful thing. Maybe you can identify with Shimei. You've despised the Lord's anointed, Jesus Christ, the 26th great-grandson of David. But you realize Jesus is coming back to judge the world, and you need to switch allegiance to him, or else you're going to be burning in the lake of fire with all the other liars and cowards and unbelievers and idolaters. Will you humble yourself like Shimei did? Ask Jesus to forgive you of your offenses against him. Will you drop what you were doing and be there for him and start looking for ways you can serve Christ's interests instead of your own? And like Shimei, will you recruit others into the kingdom as well? Recruit other people to switch allegiance to Christ as well. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, saying, be reconciled to God. Maybe you identify more with Kimham. You've been faithful. You've been faithful at home. You've lived a relatively stable life. Been a sheltered homeschooler, maybe. And now, Christ is calling you to follow him to a strange new place. Are you willing to leave the comfort of home in order to follow Christ? Will you cross the water with him, like Kimham crossed with David, leaving his home behind in order to serve the anointed one that God had called him to follow? And do you believe that Jesus will be with you wherever you go, just as he promised in the Great Commission? Going into all the world, make disciples of every ethnicity, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, and behold, I am with you wherever you go. Do you believe that promise? Will you be faithful in that new place like Kimham was, to build a house that becomes known for generations as a place where people can find peace? And finally, maybe you identify with Barzillai. And if the Lord tarries, every one of us is going to identify with the issues Barzillai faced of old age. We're going to have to face the transition of death. What can we learn from Barzillai's example? Barzillai is thinking about it. He's preparing for death. It's not something to ignore and put off thinking about. Barzillai also didn't check out of life at age 80, did he? He didn't confine himself to bed and say, well, I don't feel good, I can't see well, I can't hear well, I'm just not going to participate in life anymore. No, he got out, he delivered food to David, even though he couldn't taste it very well. Then he got out and crossed a river with David. Now, of course, an octogenarian is not going to be able to be as active as a 20-year-old or a 40-year-old. But Barzillai sets the standard for us to find strategic things to engage in, find something to stay active in, and don't check out. Barzillai supported the king, continued to support him throughout the years of his life. Late years of his life, he continued appropriating his resources to benefit the Lord's anointed until the day he died. What resources do you have that you can leverage to support the work of God's kingdom and the work of Christ Jesus until the day you die? Can you find ways to leverage your resources to support the kingdom of God? Barzillai thought strategically about the best use of his late years. He asked the question, how many more days are there to the years of my life? And he had thought about that. He'd computed that. He'd calculated, like Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12, he had numbered his days. He knew that he didn't have much more than 80 years. Have you given thought to that? How many more years do you have left before you will probably die? We don't know for sure when we're going to die, but we can, you know, we know what the averages are. And what are you going to accomplish between now and when you probably are going to die? What are the projects that would be worthy of that investment of your life? What could you get done in that amount of time? I'd urge you to think about those kinds of things. Maybe for an example, one thing I'm thinking about is it possible for me to finish writing an entire commentary on the Bible before I die? That's one of the things I'm personally thinking about. And how can I pace my studies and preaching to accomplish that goal? Or if I can't accomplish that goal, what would I be able to get done? And maybe there are other men that I could work together with to create a commentary on the entire Bible. That's just, you know, think big with the time you've got and what could you do? In light of that, are you letting go of the things that make no sense to invest in before you die? Barzillai passed up on David's offer of ending his days in luxury at the palace. What things do you need to let go of that don't fit the shape of what God has made your life to be? There may be people asking you to do things. I, the pastor, might ask you, hey, brother, will you do such and such for me? But that might not fit the shape of the life God has given you. You can say no. You don't have to do what other people tell you to do. But are you saying yes to what Christ is leading you into? Also, are you setting up the next generation to carry on without you? Like Barzillai, he raised up a son in Kimham who was capable of shouldering the responsibilities of the government of a country, being a cabinet member to a king. And then rather than keeping that son to govern his own family compound, he gives that son away to the Lord's anointed for the good of God's kingdom. If God calls one of your children to the mission field, will you be as generous as Barzillai was to say, I have worked hard to prepare a great young man or young woman, and I'm prepared to give that young man or that woman to the Lord? I believe these are lessons that we can learn, examples that we can follow. Let me just close with a reminder from Isaiah 46. God tells us he will be with us even through our old age. He will remain with us, taking care of us, guiding us. And even if you are an octogenarian, and we have some in our midst, and I hope that you think about honoring and being involved with the elderly in our midst, in the midst of our congregation, as they deal with these difficult issues of losing abilities. I hope that we can come around them and be the support they need. But God himself promises to be there and also support you. He says, listen to me, house of Jacob, and all the remainder of the house of Israel. You who were carried in my bosom and were lifted out of my womb, even until old age, I am he. And unto gray hair, I myself will carry you. I myself made you. And so I myself will lift you up, and I myself will carry you, and I will deliver you through.